This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Dr. Gretchen Goldman, Research Director for the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Gretchen leads research efforts on the role of science in public policy, focusing on topics ranging from scientific integrity in government decision-making to political interference in science-based standards on hydraulic fracturing, climate change, sugar, and chemicals. Gretchen Goldman is here to evaluate the status of scientific integrity in our federal government and to discuss the 2017 report titled Preserving Scientific Integrity in Federal Policymaking, Lessons from the Past Two Administrations, and What's at Stake Under the Trump Administration. Welcome, Gretchen.
Thanks for having me, Diane.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about the Union of Concerned Scientists?
Sure. The Union of Concerned Scientists is a science-based advocacy group that works for a healthy planet and a safer world. We've been around since 1969 and work on a host of science policy issues ranging from climate change to nuclear power to sustainable agriculture.
What are the goals of the Union of Concerned Scientists Center for Science and Democracy?
The Center for Science and Democracy was really founded to advance the role that science plays in decision making. We look at how science is used and how it's misused in decision making processes, and at the federal government level, all the way down to the local level.
What is the importance of scientific integrity for democracy?
We think it's crucial that science inform decision-making. We, of course, all know that science isn't the only input that goes into decision-making. There's many reasons we make policy in this country, including values and other sort of goals, but we think that science should be able to inform the decision-making process without the interference from politics or companies or any other inappropriate actors. And we think that that's had great benefits for this country, the ability of science to inform decisions we make on everything from food safety to nuclear weapons to workers' health rights and all kinds of issues. This country has a very strong tradition of science informing the kinds of decisions that our government makes, and that's allowed us to have a lot of public safeguards that have kept Americans safe and healthy for many years.
What are the principles of scientific integrity in public policy and decision-making?
Scientific integrity includes the ability of science to be independent as it informs decision-making. So that's that the science should be unaltered, it should be allowed to reach decision-makers' desks without inappropriate interference, without being tampered or manipulated by political actors, and it should be the best available science that is out there. And that should be able to go through the decision-making process without the science being misrepresented. It also includes the ability of scientists to communicate publicly, to be able to talk to the media about their science. It includes scientists being able to develop professionally and have the ability to expand their scientific work, to attend conferences, to meet with colleagues. So it really encompasses a lot of factors that surround doing science, communicating science, managing science, and all of these factors that come in a lot of places in our government.
You have recently published a report titled Preserving Scientific Integrity in Federal Policymaking, Lessons from the Past Two Administrations and What's at Stake Under the Trump Administration. What was the status of scientific integrity during the Bush administration?
During the Bush administration, we saw an unprecedented level of interference in science-based policy. There hadn't, up until that point, been the kind of political interference in science that we'd seen. All modern presidents have politicized science in some way or another, but the level that we saw under the George W. Bush administration was really remarkable. We saw examples of scientific work being directly manipulated, so we saw political appointees changing data and changing the numbers on scientific reports or prohibiting scientists from being able to talk to the media about their scientific work. They really censored a lot of the science that came out of federal agencies. for example, by saying that federal agencies couldn't use the word climate change and couldn't talk about climate change. And so we really saw this happen, not just around climate change, although that's certainly probably the most well-known example, but it was also happening across issue areas and across agencies. So we saw this also happening on FDA drug approvals, and we saw it happening in endangered species policy at the Fish and Wildlife Service. And it was really pretty pervasive, and we learned this through a series of surveys of federal scientists that the Union of Concerned Scientists conducted. Over several years under the Bush administration, we surveyed thousands of federal scientists and got back a lot of information that showed that this was really happening in a lot of places throughout the government, and it wasn't restricted to a few more controversial topics.
Which government departments in the Bush administration were most problematic in terms of abusing scientific integrity?
There were several that had a lot of high-profile cases. One of them was Dr. James Hansen, who was a prominent scientist at NASA, or is a prominent scientist. He came out and said that he was being muzzled by the administration from talking about climate change. So that was one issue that happened at NASA. Also, there was a high-profile example of endangered species policy around the sage grouse at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. This issue involved a political appointee named Julie McDonald, who actually edited the science that was being used to inform a listing decision of the sage grouse. And the sage grouse lives in territories in the West that are also of interest for oil and gas development. And Ms. McDonald had changed the data. She changed the number that was being used to justify a listing in order to undermine the science that was informing that decision. We also saw a lot happening at the EPA as well around climate change and other issues.
To what extent were these incidents called out by the press?
They were ultimately called out by a number of people, including my organization. I think, by and large, a lot of these cases caught us off guard. I think there was a little while before anyone really called it out and recognized it as a pattern. The Union of Concerned Scientists was one of the early examples of calling it out and really raising attention to this issue and showing that it really was systematic across the government. We organized a letter from thousands of scientists, both in and outside of the government, to say that these actions were inappropriate and that the administration needed to stop interfering with science at federal agencies. And after that, we did see increased media coverage and lots more holding the administration to account on those issues. And ultimately, that did raise the political price for political interference of that kind. We got a few high-level political appointees to step down, and ultimately the administration did walk back a few of these egregious cases, and so it really did have an impact ultimately to have a lot of these called out.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Gretchen Goldman, Research Director for the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Our topic is the status of scientific integrity in government decision-making and the implications for our democracy. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. To what extent did the status of scientific integrity and decision-making change during the Obama administration?
When the Obama administration came in, there had already been a lot of public attention on this issue, and that didn't go unnoticed by the Obama administration. In President Obama's first inaugural address, even, he vowed to restore science to its rightful place. And within his first 100 days, he issued a directive to have federal agencies develop scientific integrity policies designed to address a lot of those political interference issues that happened under the Bush administration. And so after that, he tasked his science advisor to really carry that out and ensure that federal agencies did ultimately develop these policies and build their capacity around scientific integrity. And so we really saw a change happen in the administration as in the government's treatment of scientific integrity. And we saw, ultimately, we got 24 federal agencies develop scientific integrity policies. Many of those agencies also put in place scientific integrity officers to oversee and implement those policies. And there was a few transparency initiatives that the new administration put in place, along with new laws coming from Congress on that. So we really saw a lot of actions taken to address some of these more egregious political interference cases that happened under the Bush administration.
Would you go into some detail about the scientific integrity policies that were put in during the Obama administration?
The policies that were put in place do vary across agencies. Some of them are better than others, as they are tailored to individual agencies. But by and large, what they do is put on paper a lot of protections for scientists and for science as it informs the decision-making process at agencies. So this was something that largely didn't exist under the Bush administration and prior. There wasn't really policies that specifically articulated a lot of the things that you and I might consider to be important to making sure that science is able to inform decision making. So this included things like ensuring that only scientists can edit the scientific content of documents, or making clear that public affairs cannot prevent scientists from speaking to the media if the scientists choose to speak to the media. And other ones would be professional development goals, ensuring federal scientists have the ability to advance their career in various ways, and a lot of things about their ability to speak and express their personal views on policy issues, even if it's not necessarily consistent with the department, provided they use a disclaimer when they say that. So it was really a lot of protections about scientists' right to free speech and the ability to make sure that science is preserved throughout decision-making process and there's no political interference.
What abuses of scientific integrity took place during the Obama administration?
The Obama administration was not without issue when it comes to scientific integrity. Some of the more high-profile examples, one was around emergency contraception. The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, had decided to make emergency contraception, also known as Plan B, available over the counter for all ages because their internal processes that evaluate drugs for safety had shown that it should be approved for all ages. There was no scientific reason given the health impacts to not have it be available for all ages, but the Health and Human Services Secretary decided to override that decision for political reasons and that they didn't want it to be available for all ages. And so this was a clear example where science was being sidelined and a decision was made for political reasons in a place where the science really should have led given the process that exists at FDA.
Would you just underscore the government policies that are currently in place that protect scientific integrity?
Yeah, there's 24 federal agencies that have scientific integrity policies in place and several that have scientific integrity officers. Many agencies also have separate media or communications policies that govern external communications, and many of them also have social media policies that protect scientists. And in addition, in recent years, there's been additional protections coming from Congress. In 2012, Congress passed the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act, and that explicitly includes scientists who report wrongdoing being protected by the whistleblower laws that we have.
In your view, how effective have current policies to protect scientific integrity been?
I think evidence has shown that they've certainly been a help to have in place. There's lots of cases where things were resolved before they became full-scale scientific integrity violations, and I think that's in large part due to the fact that there's now really specific rules and processes to follow, and so we have a better understanding of what is and isn't a scientific integrity issue and how to deal with it. And so I think the policies have really been helpful in providing guidance to agency staff on managing that. I think it's largely still a process in development and that agencies, I think, are still figuring out exactly what works and what doesn't. We've seen several agencies recently update their policies. The Department of Energy and the Department of Agriculture, for example, both recently updated their policies in response to looking at how the previous versions were being implemented. So I think there's a lot more we can do. And then the other point I'd make on that is that I think we will see how they're tested in the future. It's going to be an ongoing process as we learn how they work in the face of changes of administration, and we'll see how that goes.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Gretchen Goldman, Research Director for the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Our topic is the status of scientific integrity in government decision-making and the implications for our democracy. How is scientific integrity likely to fare under a Trump administration and Republican Congress?
This is the question. When we think about how the Trump administration has treated science so far, and particularly science at federal agencies, I think there is a lot of question and there is a lot of worry about how they might handle scientific integrity in different ways. We're a few days into the administration and we've already seen a few concerning aspects with this regard. For example, we've seen just this week the many agencies reporting that there's been communication shutdowns in various ways and that scientists are prohibited from speaking publicly or on social media or to the press about scientific matters. So that's a somewhat concerning sign given that the scientific integrity policies largely do address that kind of issue and do say that there should not be interference in that space. So I imagine that the policies will be tested in large degree under this new administration. And I think they really haven't been tested a tremendous amount yet. They've only been in place a few years, and they, in most cases, haven't been tested in situations where it's the administration itself that is potentially responsible for the wrongdoing, as opposed to individual staff in different parts of the agency. So I think we'll have to see how they end up faring in an environment where we may be likely to see a lot more violations coming from the administration and the leadership they appoint at agencies.
Would you tell us about more ways in which scientific integrity in our government is under attack, for example, bills in Congress?
There's a lot happening in Congress that also threatens the use of science in decision-making. There's been a few different bills lately that have been of concern to me. The Regulations from the Executive in Need of Scrutiny Act, for example, the RAINS Act is the shorthand, that has allowed or would allow Congress to be able to look at rules that federal agencies have issued and decide whether or not they're going to be implemented. So it basically gives more power back to Congress and takes that away from federal agencies, which of course have been charged with protecting public health and safety, with using scientific information to decide what kind of protections are needed. And so that whole process that has given us clean air and clean water and occupational exposure protections and all kinds of things is really under threat. And a big one that's also ongoing and stands to really have large impacts is the Congressional Review Act, and that in conjunction with the Midnight Relief of Rules Act both stand to really have impacts on the ability of agencies to issue rules. And what those bills would do is it would really undo a lot of the protections that have been put in place at the end of the Obama administration. And if these bills pass, what they would do is it would undo all the rules that came out of the Obama administration at the end, and it would also prevent agencies from implementing them anytime in the future if it was a similar bill. So even if we got a new administration in 4 years, they wouldn't be able to issue the same sort of thing. So this is concerning, and it affects rules from all kinds of agencies. One example is that the EPA recently issued a rule around truck emissions, and this was a rule that would allow us to mitigate some global warming emissions coming from trucks, and it would be a rule that would allow greater efficiency for trucks in this country, but that's one that could be repealed entirely depending on Congress's moves.
How likely are these bills to pass?
Fairly likely. We'll see what ends up happening, but with an administration that seems to be in line with Congress in terms of their desire to really undermine science that federal agencies can produce, I think there's a lot of risk when it comes to what they're capable of. On the other end, I think we have seen this Congress so far be somewhat responsive to public pressure and constituent pressure. So I think it will be crucial, especially now, that everyone contact their member of Congress and express concern about these bills and others that we might see in the future and make clear that it is important that we use science in decision making and a lot of these public protections can stay in place.
What additional steps can and are being taken to protect scientific integrity during a Trump administration?
There's a lot that we can do. There's a lot of staff within agencies that are in roles of being able to protect scientific integrity there. The policies are in place as of now, and so that really should provide some protection for scientists. The other difference, and one thing that I think is really important to note now compared to the Bush administration, is sort of the degree of awareness that we now have about these issues and what is and isn't appropriate for administrations to do when it comes to control of government science and policy. So we now have policies in place. We have a federal workforce that's a little more aware of the potential wrongdoing of these kinds of administrations, and we know what to do about it. So we have a little more protections in place, and there's also a lot of scrutiny on the administration's actions. Already, we've seen a tremendous amount of watchdogging and really looking at what's going on at federal agencies, and I think the administration should expect that to continue. And so the more people we have holding them to account, I think we can better leverage that into actions and preventing the worst.
How can listeners get involved and help promote scientific integrity?
There's lots that individuals can do. I'd certainly recommend that you look at our webpage, which is ucsusa.org, and that has a lot of actions you can take and resources for specifically pushing back on some of these congressional proposals and also some of the actions that the administration is taking. We also have a separate area for scientists. So if you're a scientist and have some technical expertise, we also offer opportunities to be involved for those folks that rely more on their expertise and allow them to leverage that for action. And so people can look for that as well.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I think it's important to remember that we still have power as Americans and citizens in this country. It seems very concerning to look at all that's happening, especially as we see more and more headlines where science is potentially being compromised. But I think we need to not let up, and we need to continue to follow this and make very clear to our decision makers at all levels that we're not going away and this is a problem and we're expecting you to defend science. So I'm hopeful, and I hope that your listeners can also remain engaged and remain hopeful for this country.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Gretchen.
Thanks so much for having me, Diane.
You were just listening to Gretchen Goldman, Research Director for the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. For more information, check on the web at ucsusa.org. Again, that's ucsusa.org. Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the Sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM by mobile app and on kexp.org.